actually wanted to start by going back because, I don't know, last week either I made the mistake of preparing it too far in advance of the shiur or I was just out of it. But I botched the second part of Rav Yosef when we were doing Rav Yosef's sources for the idea that Davar Shebeminyan Tzarech Minyan Acher LaHatira, that you need to have an explicit revocation of a decree that's been made. So during the shiur, I had a hard time with it, and then I killed the audio. I erased the audio and re-recorded after the shiur, and that was what I put online that you heard, Howie. And I still it didn't sound right. So I went back and took a look at it again and realized what I misunderstood the first time. And it turns out to be a fascinating machlokas Rashi and Tosfos. So even though it's going to take us out of what we're up to, nonetheless, I want to go back to that, and then to go back up to what we're up to. So we're on Hayomid Base, and remember that Rav Yosef said that a Davar Shebeminyan Tzarech Minyan Acher LaHatiro, this idea that a Gezerah requires an explicit revocation of the Gezerah, this idea comes from three sources. And he first brought you the pasuk of Shuvu Lachem Le'ahalechem, that Hashem has to say, go back to your spouses after Matan Torah. And then he brought you another pasuk. And that's what we're up to here. It is four lines down on Hey Omid Beis. They say, Mai Va'omer. What is this Va'omer? Why do I need to have multiple psukim? Hachi Ke'omer. This is what it's saying. Michdi Ksiv Heyunachonim L'Shloshes Yemim Al Tikshu Alisha. The Pasuk says, you should be prepared for 3 days. Don't go to your spouse. Lechem Mor Lahem Shuvu Lechem Le'oha Lechem Lamali. Why do I need a Pasuk that says, now go back to your spouse after the Torah has been given? Shema Minah called Davar Shebeminyan Tzarech Minyan Acher LaHatiro. That teaches me that you need an explicit revocation. But then, Vechi Tema, you might say, LeMitzvas Ona Huda Asa. That was only because the Pasuk was teaching me a separate point. Not that you're mutter to your spouse, but that there's a mitzvah to go be with your spouse because of the mitzvah of Ona. Tashma, therefore it brings you the second pasuk. Now here's where you have to watch what happened. If you take a look at your sheets, this'll help as an introduction. The top source on the sheet brings you two psukim from Sefer Shmos. The first one is Perek Yates, which is Luchos Rishonos. And then the second one is Shmos Lamed Daled, which is the second set of Luchos. Okay, so that's the key thing that you have to keep in mind. Because everything is gonna revolve around that. The first one, by Luchos Rishonos, the first set of Luchos, says, Lo siga bo yad, ki sakol yisakel o yaro yare in behemah mish lo yechya. Don't touch the mountain. Anybody who does is going to suffer this terrible fate. In behemah mish lo yechya. Man, animal, doesn't make a difference. They will not survive. Bimshoch hayovel hema yalu bahar. When the yovel blows, yovel we understand to refer to a shofar. When the shofar blows, then they're going to ascend the mountain. Okay, that's by Luchos Rishonos. That's the first set of Luchos, and it's an instruction of don't go up on the mountain. When do you get to go up? When the shofar blows. Second pasuk is from Luchos Shnios, the second set of Luchos. V'ish, we're going back. V'ish lo ya'ale imach, v'gam ish al yera b'chol ha'har. Hashem tells Moshe, no one should go up with you. No one should even appear on the entire mountain. Gam hatzon v'abakar al yiru el mul haharahu. The sheep, the cattle, should not graze on the side of the mountain. Got it? Okay, so now reading in the Gemara. The Gemara says, Michdi, or Tashma, start from there. Tashma bimshoch hayovel hema yalu bahar. The pasuk says, when the shofar blows, they will ascend the mountain. Michdi, but still, Ksiv gamatzon v'abakar al yiru el mul harahu. The pasuk says by the second set of luchos, the sheep and the cattle can't go up to the side of that mountain. Bimshoch hayovel lamali. Why do I need a pasuk to tell me that you're able to go on the mountain when the shofar blows? Shma mina davar shebeminyan tzarech minyan acher lahatiro. So we see from here that you have to revoke the gezera. What in the world is he talking about? You're bringing me a source from the second set of Luchos, or the first second set of Luchos. So here's the way that Rashi explains it. Rashi takes a very important point as a given. And that is that the Jews actually are not allowed on Har Sinai from the third, from the 3-day period before Matan Torah until they leave Har Sinai a year later. Okay, remember that they build the Mishkan, and then in Parshas Baloscha they're told now it's time to leave, and the mountain, the cloud moves, and then they leave. That entire time you're not allowed on Har Sinai. So it's not that you're allowed up right after Matan Torah. Where does Rashi get this from? Source Beis on your sheets, Gemara and Tanis. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Lo Mekomo Shel Adam Mechabdo, El Adam Mechabedes Mekomo. Rabbi Yossi says, a person's place does not honor him. A person, by being there, honors his place. Shekein Matzina Bahar Sinai, as we see with Har Sinai, Shekol Zman Shashchina Shruya Alav, as long as the Shechina was present, Amra Tara Gamatzon Vabakar Al Yiru El Mula Harahu. Nothing could go there. Nistalka Shechina Mimenu, when the Shechina left, then we say the shofar blows, and you can go up the mountain. So Rashi understands that Gemara to mean when the Shekhinah leaves, because the Aron moves, because it's time now for the Jews to leave Har Sinai. In which case, what is the shofar that's blowing that signals the mountain is now fair game again?
The shofar from the move.
The shofar from the move, right. When we're told you blow the chatzotzros and so on, that's what it's talking about. That, by the way, this is an important Gemara, because you hear all these Divrei Torah that people give, like when somebody moves somewhere and they say, you know, Tzadik Balamakom Osarosham, Tzadik leaves Osarosham, and so on. So everybody quotes that one Gemara. But this is the second one that's perfectly fine that people could also bring about a person being Mechabed Mekomo. The person honors the place he lives. So it's also a good Gemara to know.
This would prove the exact opposite, that you don't need another person to revoke, because yeah, after the first Pasuk, we're assuming that Son went back up onto the mountain. They get the second pasuk to warn them again.
We're saying they did not go up after the first pasuk.
Well, the second pasuk occurs later, where yeah, God is warning them again not to have the Son go.
Ah, so this is what Rashi is picking up on. The way Rashi understands this is that because I have the second pasuk, v'ishloi alei mach, and so on, gamatzon babakar al yiru el mul hahar hahu. The that pasuk at the second set of luchos, telling you, don't go, you know, don't go on the mountain. I don't need the first pasuk, which says bimshol hayovel hemayalu bahar. That's his point. He's saying there's no need for a pasuk to say bimshol hayovel hemayalu bahar at the first one, because the second one says that you're not supposed to go to the mountain.
It's one long period of
time.
So why did you need the second one?
Exactly.
So that's the...
Because the first one said, don't go.
Right, so
until the shofar blows. The shofar hadn't blown. Why do you need the second one?
The first one? Part of the pasuk.
Right. No, I think because there's one more piece to it, which I was hoping to avoid reading Rashi inside, just because he gets you dragged into this. But take a look at Rashi, Mithik Siv, and you'll see it in the beginning of the Rashi, so it's all right. Mithik siv beluchos achronos, v'ish lo yale imach, etc. Miseifa dekra yalef, he's learning from the end of the pasuk where it says, el mul hahar hahu. They take hahar hahu. Well, you didn't need the word hahu, because everybody knew what mountain you were talking about. So he uses hahu to teach, kol zman shehu bahavayas kedusha so, shashchina alav, asur. It's teaching me that as long as the mountain has its kedusha, it's also so El Muha Harahu is there to teach me as long as the Shekhinah is present, you can't go up. And once I have that pasuk telling me El Muha Harahu at the second set of luchos, and the first time around we already knew don't go up, because he said lo siga bo yad. What you don't need is bimshol hayovel hema yalu bahar, because you're going to see from El Muha Harahu that when when everybody leaves, you're allowed to go on the mountain.
But that came later.
But they don't need to know it earlier, because they're going to be us there anyway that whole time. It doesn't matter.
But then why in the second pasuk does it need the first part that says, V'ish v'yala imach?
Well, that's...
In other words, you have the warning twice of not going on the mountain. You don't need a second warning if you weren't allowed to go on the mountain in the first place and you weren't back on the mountain.
Right, what's the answer? Who went up the first time?
Moshe.
Not just Moshe.
And Shevim Zkenim and...
Yehoshua, right? Yehoshua's parked halfway up the mountain. So clearly the first time round, there were certain heterim about who could go up, because Hashem told them explicitly.
So that's why you need...
So therefore you need Ish lo yale imach. We're not doing it the same way this time. This time, leave leaders behind in the camp, okay?
So that explains the cycle.
Exactly. So the idea, as Rashi understands it, and I gave you a little summary in Gimel, is that Rashi's view is that the pasuk in Parshas Kisisa, the second set, is what teaches me that you can't go up until Hashem leaves the mountain. Emul ha-har ha-hu, as long as it has its kedusha. And then the pasuk the first time round, when it says b'mshoch hayovel himayalu bahar, really isn't needed. You don't need to say b'mshoch hayovel because God's going to get around to telling them about that. The assumption is what everything in Rashi here rests on is the assumption that Hashem knows what He's going to say in Parshas Kisisa, and even though Kisisa shouldn't have happened because they shouldn't have made an egel, nonetheless, it's built in that this is going to be there, and therefore this pasuk that you have in Parshas Yisro of Hemayalu Bahar really wasn't needed.
Or you could look at it slightly differently. Say the first one was intended. Had we not had the egel, he would have come down, they would have blown the shofar, and everyone would have been fine, but that's not happened. So now here's a new direction that this entirely displaces the first one, and the rules have changed. So the rules have changed in terms of who went up, and the rules have changed in terms of when you can go, others can go.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't rely on anymore the previous one that said, as soon as you blow the shofar, you can go up.
So that's what I would have thought.
That whole scenario is off the table.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Theoretically.
But does this not require then that Kitisa is actually where it is supposed to be? I mean, you have the whole issue.
Yes.
So Rashi is holding Kitisa is there, and Yitro...
Oh, Kisisa is always where it's supposed to be.
Well, yeah.
The question is, where is Truma? Truma Tetzaveh.
Well, isn't there also a question where Yitro is? Whether Yitro might be after
but
Kisisa?
But yet that... Not after Kisisa. After Truma Tetzaveh. The question with Yisro is there are two separate. Well, I'm mixing two things. One question is: did Yisro show up pre-Matan Torah or post-Matan Torah?
Right.
That's one question. Then there's a second question, which is: the Mishkan before or after the Egel?
Right.
Those are the questions, but none of those are about Kisisa, except the question. Kisisa is true and Tisa. No, but it's still after Yisro. Ain't no way around that. It has to be. You can't give your second luchos before you give your first luchos. That would be a trick. And it would have saved us a lot of trouble. But but that's all Rashi's take. Tosfos disagrees with Rashi for two reasons. Number one, Tosfos, and again, I'm going to try to do this without having to read it inside, if I can. Number one is that the Jews are allowed to go up after Matan Torah, because Tosfos understands B'mshoch HaYovel to mean the shofar blast at the end of Matan Torah.
Right.
Like, one of the reasons we blow shofar after Yom Kippur is supposed to be to echo the shofar blast at the end of Matan Torah. Yom Kippur is like Matan Torah, and then the shofar blows, and that experience has now ended. So Tosfos understands B'mshoch HaYovel is after Matan Torah. And if so, they are going up in between the first and the second. That's one problem that Tosu says. Tosu has a separate problem, because we saw already a few weeks ago that Tosu believes that when a gzera is explicitly time-bound, whether something in the Torah or a cherem decree someone's going to make nowadays doesn't make a difference, then you don't require a new statement to end the gzera. And he says the gzera in the second pasuk is explicitly time bound. He takes that as explicitly time bound. So how is it that it could be a source for teaching that a non time bound gzera requires some kind of heter? So Tosfos comes up with a different approach. He says yud tes yud gimel, meaning the pasuk in Parshas Yisro, was not needed. Meaning the end of the pasuk. B'mshoch hayovel hema yalu bahar. Because logically, you knew, after Matan Torah, you can go up a mountain. Right? I mean, all of this is predicated upon the assumption that heyunachonim l'shloshes yamim al tikshu elisha wasn't clear.
So that's to impute a time period.
Yeah. I should have been able to, without any sort of... I shouldn't have needed you to tell me b'mshoch hayovel hema yalu bahar. That should not have been necessary. So that's number one. Lest you say that it is needed in order to teach me a different lesson. I might have thought, Tosfo says, I might have thought that you could go up earlier. before Matan Torah is over. Matan Torah starts with kolos, ubrakim, and so on. When the kolos and brakim end, the sound and light show is over. Even though Hashem is still present on the mountain, you can go up. That's what I might have thought Tosfos suggests. And so I needed the pasuk, the second one, from Lamed Daled Gimel, to teach me, no, you don't get to go up there. How does Lamed Daled Gimel teach me that? Because when you look at the Torah's account of the second set of luchos, there are no kolos ubrakim. So from the fact that it's still saying, wait until the shofar blows, or there it's don't go up while the Shechina is there, that means don't go up even though there are no kolos ubrakim. So Tosfos understands that that second pasuk is teaching me, don't go up too early. So then what is Yud Tes Yud Gimel there for? Not to go up while Matan Torah is going on, but I can go up afterwards. I know. That's logical. Not to go up too early, I now know from the pasuk in Parshas Kisisa. So what do I need the pasuk in Parshas Yisro for? Why do I need you to tell me Bimsho Chayovel Hema Yalu Bahar? That's the Davar Shebeminyan pasuk. And that way, Tosfos has managed to preserve his core idea that gzeros that are explicitly time-bound do not require a new statement in order to permit them. This gzera here is not explicitly time-bound because the pasuk that we thought was about the time-bound, meaning the pasuk in Parashas Kisisa, Gamatzon Rabakar Yeru El Mula Harahu, it's that mountain you can't go up on, is not really a pasuk telling me don't go until it's all over. Well, it is something that don't go, but it's about not going up too early, is what it's really there for. It's not there to set a time limit on the thing. That's the way Tosfos understands this. So again, just to recap, and I gave you the summary in Gimel in the hopes that that would help. The Rashi's view is that what we're trying to say here is the second pasuk teaches me that you're not allowed to go up until God leaves the mountain. The first pasuk is teaching me that you need an explicit permission to come at some point. That's what the first pasuk is there for. B'mishol Chayovel Hemayalu Bahar is the explicit permission, even though the original Gezeira said, don't go up as long as Hashem is present. That's the way Rashi understands it.
That's Mark Asaf Minin Achar Tiro.
Correct.
The first pasuk.
Correct. What's so awkward here is that we're using the pasuk of Luchos Rishonos as a response to the pasuk of Luchos Shnios.
Right.
That's what makes this thing very strange. But that's the way that Rashi reads it. Tosfos says, I don't need you to teach me that you can't go up until Hashem leaves. That I already knew logically. I do have a pasuk teaching me that you can't go up even if the kolos have ended. You still need to wait longer. That I do have from Lamed Daled Gimel, which means that I don't have a pasuk giving me an explicit ending to it. And therefore, I need a pasuk to teach me Davar Shebeminyan Tzarich Minyan Acher LaHatiro. That's what the opening pasuk is. According to both Rashi and Tosfos, the opening pasuk, the Yud Tes Gimel one, Bimshol Hayavel Hema Yalu Bahar, is the one that's teaching me Davar Shebeminyan Tzarich Minyan Acher LaHatiro. The only real debate between them is what is the second pasuk teaching me. When the pasuk says Gamatzon Rabakaral Yeru El Mul Hahar Hahu, so Rashi says that pasuk is teaching me that you can't go up until Hashem leaves the mountain after the whole year is over. And according to Tosfos, that pasuk is teaching me don't go up even if the sound and light show is over, because that doesn't mean the Matan Torah is over. The practical difference between Rashi and Tosfos is, number one, were they able to go up after Matan Torah before the year was over? That's one practical disagreement. And the other practical disagreement is if I have a time-bound gezerah. According to Rashi, even a time-bound gezera will require an explicit reversal. Those are the differences between Rashi and Tosfos. I don't know if this was any more clear than it was last week, but at least it's correct. Last week was neither clear nor correct. Now I'm correct. I don't know if I'm clear. But we were supposed to be doing this business of what they did in Eretz Yisrael for Yom Tov Sheni of Rosh Hashanah, which Alan Rubin was kind enough to provide some source material for. And Alan, I hope you're listening to the audio. The the question is, what is the status of Yom Tov Sheni for Rosh Hashanah when you're no longer working with Edim? If you're telling me, as we've already seen, that originally, they accepted Edim all day long in the Beis HaMikdash, and theoretically the Edim could come in the afternoon and say, today is Rosh Hashanah, and fine, today is Rosh Hashanah. Then they make a gzera and they say, no, if they come after Mincha, forget it, it's too late, and now we're just going to push them off until tomorrow, right? Because of the mess that happened with the shir, whatever that mess was, we already spent time on that. Then, post-Beis HaMikdash, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai says, we're actually accepting Edim all day long once again. We're gonna stick to working with the Edim, and we're gonna have a second day, and we're gonna treat this as one long day of Rosh Hashanah. Despite the fact that we didn't see it yet, but the Gemara here is gonna say that there never was a 30-day Elul, it was only one time back in Sefer Ezra, whatever it is. Nonetheless, we are going to observe it as a 2-day Rosh Hashanah. And the question arises, what about once they have a set calendar? Is there any point whatsoever at that stage in keeping 2 days of Rosh Hashanah in Eretz Yisrael? Outside Eretz Yisrael, fine. Because outside Eretz Yisrael, they always kept 2 days, just like for every Yom Tov.
But outside Eretz Yisrael means it should have been Shtei Kedushas then.
If it wasn't a matter of the standing minhag, that's correct. If it was just a Yom Tov Sheni Shel Galios, that would be true. And not to mention, as we saw already a couple of weeks ago in Rashi, it's technically not just outside of Eretz Yisrael, it's outside of the Beis Havad. Right? It's anybody who wouldn't have that information. But the question is, what are they doing once you have, once you're no longer working with Edim at all? So I brought you the Rif in Source Dalet on your sheets. The Rif very simply says, Visham Inon Miha, we see, and I wrote it in brackets, meaning we see from Rava. Rava was the one who said that the egg from the first day is off limits on the second day. So we see from Rava, Dibnei Eretz Yisrael, Tzrichi Lameh, but Shnei Yomim Tovim Shal Rosh Hashanah. We see that Bnei Eretz Yisrael is still doing 2 days. It doesn't make a difference. Everybody is keeping 2 days, even after the Edim are done. So the question is, why?
And he is saying Eretz Yisrael. He's not saying Rambam.
He says Eretz Yisrael, correct. So take a look at Ramban, who tries to explain this in his Melchamos commentary to the Rif. He says, Ola biyadeinu mi pishmuazu, shabizman shahayu mekadshin al pi ha-re'iya, hayukulon osin shnei yamim, chutz mimekom havad. He says, what emerges for us from the sugya in the Gemara is that when they had witnesses testifying about the new moon, then they all did 2 days, except for those who were sitting in the Beis Din. Vayutosim osam b'kedusha achas, they considered it one kedusha, shema bo edim en amincho lamala, because maybe witnesses had showed up. Nimtzeis takana zu shehut la'aleyem la'azo shnei yamin b'rosh Hashanah, muchzekes b'yadam b'kedusha achas, Shekein beis havad atzmo im lobo edim arasheni beis asur lahem. So he says this enactment that was created for them to do 2 days of Rosh Hashanah was that it should be one kedusha, because in the Beis Din itself, if the witnesses did not show up until the second day, the eggs would be usur to them. Why? Sharei ishtakad shebo min amincho lamala haisa asura, because last year when the edim showed up in the afternoon, the egg was off limits on day two. The egg lay from day one. We treated it as one long kedusha by fiat. It was simply so. We're going to view it as one day. So so we're going to do the same thing every year. And then as long as they did 2 days, they treated it as one kedusha. The kevan shekein, because this is so. Me'ata nilmot, sha'afilu la'achar shalamdu sidrei ha'ibur, even after they learned how to do the calendar, tzrichin heim la'azo shnei yamim, they still have to do 2 days. Shalom yishum safek hayu no again ben betchila. it isn't that they always did it because of doubt, and now there's no doubt, so they don't do it anymore. Ela kedusha achas huskena aleihem. They enacted that it should have one kedusha. We're going to keep 2 days with one kedusha. V'chol heicha de kedusha achas. Wherever it's created as one Kedusha, it stays as one Kedusha. Even though we now know how to do the calendar, and where a calendar is a fixed calendar and there are no witnesses, it was enacted as 2 days of one Kedusha, and it remains 2 days of one Kedusha. That's the way that Ramban looks at it.
So what's the underlying reason for the Ramban? That made a takana there, and that's
yep.
why we keep it?
Yep.
That's it?
That was it. The takana from when they were worried about Adam coming in the afternoon.
But the first day is always still called the first of Tishrei. It's never the 30th of
Correct.
Right.
Correct. Always the first of Tishrei.
So, this is inconsistent with what Redman
So wait, we're getting there. Okay. The Baal HaMor comes along, and he says what Redman said. The,
just tell what Redman's saying going with. What Al was saying was in Galut. Okay, wouldn't that still apply outside of Eretz Yisrael? That it's not the same Sveika the Yoma like the other Yom Tovim, and even outside Eretz Yisrael, still would be Kedusha of that.
Yes. In other words, if we were only doing it as the Safek because I didn't get the news, then it would be Shtei Kedushos. But now it's not. Now what we're saying is there's a broad based Takana that's going to apply across the board because of the concern for the Edim showing up in the afternoon. And even after they're not showing up in the afternoon anymore, we stick to this original practice that it is Kedusha Achas.
But there's still a difference between the first day and second day in terms of Derisa versus the Rabbanon, like the Shofar, isn't there?
I don't think so.
I thought that the second day, let's say Shabbos is the first day, the second day you blow Shofar, it's still only the Rabbanon and not.
Oh, that's true. Yes, that's not about, you can't create a second Derisa.
Right.
Yes, it's still only the Rabbanan for all the things that you're doing, because the rabbis are the ones who created this takana. Yes, that's correct. Sorry, Alex, what?
When you say Shefiana twice, then?
So,
that's
why people will wear the new clothing or have the new fruit. Is to be
Yotze. That's a kiddush, right?
Right. That's a kiddush when you do the Shefiana. As a general thing, why you do all the other, besides Shefiana, why are you doing all the other brachos and so on, is because the Chachamim have the ability to create brachos wherever they like. Almost all of our brachos are drabbanans. It's not other than, you know, Birkas HaMazon and Birkas HaTorah, they're all drabbanans. So they can do that. It's not called, Brach and Tzvicha or anything like that. Yeah. So that's Ramban's take. The Baal HaMor says absolutely not. In source Vav, he says Shamina Namina, and this was the quote from the Rif. Dibnei Eretz Yisrael Machaybi Lemeavad Shneim Tovim Shal Rosh Hashanah. Right, that's the direct quote, pretty much. Ve'ein Lanu Shum Raya Midivrei Rava Al Masha Kasav. He says, I'm sorry, Rava doesn't prove any such thing. When Rava made his initial statement that the egg is off limits on day two of Rosh Hashanah, Shlo Nemru Divrei Rava El Bismanjri Mekachin Al Piriya. He says what Rava was talking about was when they used to have witnesses to show up. Avol Bedoros Halalu Me'acha Shehutkan Seder HaYibur Al Pi Aminok Shanom Biadenu. When the calendar is now set based on the practice that we have, Hare Chazra Kol Eretz Yisrael Lios Kebeis Havad. So all of Israel is like the place of the Beis Din, because no one's broadcasting news. We know just as well as anybody else. She'en lem safek b'kedushas hayom, ve'en en chayavim lishmor ki im yom echad, bein b'Rosh Hashanah, bein b'shar yomim tovim. V'chein, V'chein nagu, he says, forget Rosh Hashanah. The same thing is true for any yantiv. V'chein nagu la'asos be'eretz Yisrael kol hadoro shahayu lefaneinu. He says that's what they always did. That from the time when they enacted a calendar, they said, forget 2 days, we don't need 2 days anymore. Ad ato, until now, chadashim mikarov ba'u l'sham mechachmei Provence. He says, the Chacham of Provence showed up in Eretz Yisrael. And they said, oh, you should look at the Rif. The Rif says 2 days. You're doing it wrong. You should be keeping 2 days. So he's imagining this massive change somewhere in the 11th century, give or take, of people showing up and saying, you know, the Rif says that you're keeping 2 days. And they're saying, no, we don't.
To Akko.
Yeah. But he's saying that now everything becomes different. The chen kasav harav. Sorry.
No, I'm just saying it makes historical sense.
Yeah, well, he's not making up the idea that they showed up there. I'm just trying to imagine what this looks like when you show up and tell everybody. You know, I mean, there weren't that many Jews there, but still, you tell them, yeah, you know, you've been doing one day, you're actually supposed to be doing 2 days. V'chein kasav harav Rabbeinu Ephraim zal kamosh kasav nu'anu. He says, yeah, Rabbeinu Ephraim, who's an early Rishon, he says that we're saying. V'nimtza b'she'ela l'marav nisim zal. It showed up in a shaila that was asked to Rav Nisim Gaon, milifnei Rabbeinu Haigon zal. Quote, Lama amar Adoneinu ki b'nei Eretz Yisrael tofsim Rosh Hashanah shnei yamim. Why do you say that we are keeping 2 days? Halo on a Roma Atashin Tovsin Alayomachad. I don't know what you're talking about. We keep one day. Veheshiv, and his response, Rav Nisim Gaon's response was, Bizman Shayu Mekash Mapiriya, Ein Mekom Havad Osin Alayomachad. When they did it with the witnesses, so those who were in the base didn't did one day. Avachutz Litzchum, Osomakom, but outside the boundaries of that location, Noagim Shnei Yamim Mikodim. They always did 2 days. V'sholchen Shluchim L'chol Makom Leizayom Kitchu Basin as Achodesh. They would send out their messengers, obviously not relevant for Rosh Hashanah, but for the other Yamim Tovim. V'chol Makom Shishluchay Tishrei Magiyin, Ein Noagin Es Shara Moedos, Ele Yom Echad, wherever their messengers would go, then you only kept one day. V'asher Amartim Bavur B'nei Eretz Yisrael B'yom Tov Shal Rosh Hashanah, and as far as your comment about what Israelis are doing on Rosh Hashanah, Kachamarnu, so we say, Bidinu Shayasu Kamira Karishonim Velo Yishna Mimina Galosayim Nishmasan Eden. He says they should not vary from their original practice. That's the quote from Rabbeinu Nisim Gaon. There is another.
One day or 2 days?
That's one day.
One day.
Yeah. Nishmasan Eden is one version of the ending. I've also seen it as Nun. Noach Nishmasan or something along the lines, but the point stands. It's an honorific. The point is that the Baal HaMor says, if you look at Rav Nisim Gaon, he said they should keep on doing whatever they're doing, and if they're doing one day, they should stick with one day. They're not doing 2 days, unlike what the Rif claims. There is support for this idea of the Rif. Regarding the idea that it's 2 days. As far as Rabbeinu Ephraim is concerned, take a look at the Rosh in Sur Zion. Venira Lee, again, Rabbeinu Ephraim was the one who said, once you have a calendar, there's no reason for you to be doing 2 days anymore. So the Rosh says, Venira Lee Kedivrei Harav Alphas. I agree with the Rif. Demi Debeitza Asura. Gam tzvichlas shnei yamim de Rosh Hashanah dechad taima litravayu deklum asa rava beitza ela mishum din bo edim en amin cholamala samoch lachashecha shalo hayashos biyom lakabalin yam. I'm reading that too quickly. Let me go back. He says chad taima litravayu. He says the fact that Rava made the statement that the egg is off limits on the second day when they're keeping 2 days is part and parcel with the idea that they should now be doing 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. Why? Diklum asa rava beitza, ela mishum dimbo edim en amencho ulamala, samoch lachashecha, shalohaya shows bayom lakabal edusan, mashlim en osa bayom kodesh, ulamachar mekabal en edusan, vaosin osa bayom kodesh, rayu kudush arichta. He says the whole point that Rava had in saying that you should do, that the egg should be off limits on day two, was because the witnesses show up late, too late to be accepted, then you're going to declare that day Kodesh and the next day Kodesh has one long day of Kedusha. That was Rava's rationale for saying the egg is Usur. Umitam zenami anu tzvichem asav shnei yamim. And that's why we keep 2 days. Because of the witnesses showing up late. He's not telling you anything new. We knew that. But he continues to say, v'im tomer, if you're going to then say, kevan debeki inon besod ha'ibur, since we are experts in the calendar, lo'olam lo yera lanu dabar zeshit starech laso shnei yamim tovim Rosh Hashanah, we ain't ever going to need 2 days Rosh Hashanah. Im kain, if so, mehai taima tehi beitzin muteris. If that was really true, then you'd have to reverse Rava and say the egg should also be mutter. Elavadai mida asa Rava beitza libnei doro. He says Rava's talking to his generation when you already have a calendar. And Rava's telling his generation that the egg is off limits. Shayu bekiin besod ibor. They already knew the calendar. Their only reason for keeping 2 days would theoretically be like for Sukkot and for Pesach and for Shavuos. Not as one long Kedusha, but because the messengers didn't get there. In that case, the egg should be mutter on day two. So from the fact that Rava says it's aser, mido asa Rava beitza levein do ro, shayi bekiyin besodi ibur, alma taima di day mi de beitza asur bizman she mekashin al pi hara'iya, mi taima de ka'amar, gam bizman shein mekashin nami asura. Rather, Rava is saying that just like the egg was off limits back when we used to use witnesses, it remains off limits and the status is kedusha achas even now.
When he's saying Rava was a baki, during your time, you were baki on the calendar. Does that mean it wasn't done by witnesses at his time?
Yeah, they're already in the fixed calendar days. Yeah. Kid amrinon b'shnei yom tov mishal golios. Like we say regarding the 2 days of yom tov sheni shal golios, hizaro v'minag avosenu, dilma gazri gizera v'asila kalkule. Maybe something's going to happen. Constantine is going to come along and make the calendar, whatever the reason is going to be. And that's the same reason why you're going to have 2 days of Rosh Hashanah in Eretz Yisrael. That's the position of the Rosh.
So he's giving two reasons. One is Rava, and second of all, the Kilkula thing. Right?
Well, he's saying, look at what Rava did, and why did Rava do it? Because of Dilma Asa L'Kilkula. Yeah. And the Baal Amor, in Source Ches, I'm sorry, no, the Machamos, I should say, The Machamos takes that that position. I'm just trying to figure out why I brought this Baal HaMor here. But that's the answer to Rabbeinu Ephraim. The answer to Rabbeinu Ephraim is we still have this Dilma Asila Kokule that things could go bad. That's the
If we didn't have the reason of Rava,
yeah,
right, then the din of Kilkula wouldn't be a reason at all, right? You wouldn't have that reason, right?
Correct.
In other words, if you didn't have the loss of Beitza, so everything relies on the on an egg.
Well, Rava is, yes, but Rava is demonstrating
right.
That this was what our belief was. Right. But that's the idea. And if you take a look at Source Ches, for some reason, I have this headed as the Baal HaMor, but it's got to be the Machamos because he's arguing against the Baal HaMor. Take a look at source Ches. He says, "V'kevan shekein." Since this is so, Ravina v'Rav Ashi debasrai inun lama asruha. Why did Ravina and Rav Ashi prohibit the egg? If this was really true, that the reason for the original is gone. Ulkaanami, and the Gemara later on, the Asrinam the Mikchol Eina Biyom Tov Sheni Shal Rosh Hashanah. They're going to say you can't get your eye treated on the second day of Rosh Hashanah with medication. The Mia de Rava the Aser Beitza, because Rava said that the egg is off limits. Am I why? Valo Batal Taimo Shal Rava Bedoros Achronim. The whole reason for Rava is gone in the later generations when they have a calendar. Gam kol ha-ga'onim ha-boim ha-chareinim ken lama asru al-afi she'enim b'kiyin. Also, all the ga'onim who came along later and prohibited, what's that all about? I don't understand them either. Vasher Amru, and as far as the statement from Rabbeinu Ephraim, that he said, Bavur b'nei Eretz Yisrael b'dorosh lefaneinu, about the people in Israel in previous generations, eina taina. He says, that's not a valid argument. Lefisha galinu geula galus, lefisha galinu galus shlema. We went into this complete exile. Uba'avono senu lo nishar ba'eretz Yisrael ba'yam ha'im elame'atim. There were only a few Jews left in Israel at that point. Ve'enon b'nei Torah. They weren't necessarily people of Torah. B'nidnud achar nidnud. Galus after galus. V'tiltol achar tiltol. They ended up traveling from place to place. V'huchlof lem b'shar yamim. They got confused. They got confused about what should be done regarding Rosh Hashanah and treating Rosh Hashanah as one thing and treating the other Yom Tovim as another. They didn't know what they were talking about. And that is your justification for why they were doing what they were doing. They were wrong. And that's the way that they dismiss this position of those who were in Israel. If you flip the page, there's a whole other position available. In other words, we've staked out two positions so far. Right? One position is you're right. Post-calendar, there's no need. Right? That's the position of Rabbeinu Ephraim. That's the position of the Baal HaMor. The second position is the position of the Rif, defended by the Mochamos, the Ramban. And that is the position that, no, those who were doing one day didn't know what they were doing. The original takana was to have 2 days that we treated as kedusha achas because of the witnesses coming in the afternoon, and that doesn't change. Now you get this third position in the Rashba, in source tests. He says, nirin divrehem, by the way, tomorrow is beitza daf hei, for those who are doing daf yomi. You really want to confuse them, start them on this. People who are doing daf yomi generally don't get into this sort of thing. But ask them, so what do you think they're doing after they're no longer using witnesses anymore? Nirin divrehem, b'meshadachu rayaso shal haravzal midivre rava. He says they appear to be correct when they use rava, who prohibits the egg, to defeat the view that says that they're keeping one day. Diilu midivre rava lo shamanu, ela shebechol makom uvechol zman shenoagin kodesh bebeiz yamim harayin bekedushas yom echad kodem hatakana. I'm sorry. He says the other way around. He says when they rejected the proof that was brought from Rava, he says they were right. In other words, you can't prove anything from Rava and the egg. Why? Because, he says, midivrei Rava, the middle of the top line, midivrei Rava lo shamanu, ela shebechol makom v'chol zman shenoagim kodesh b'shnei yomim, harei heim b'kedushas yom echad k'kodem hatakana. The only thing you learn from Rava is that wherever you are keeping 2 days, it's really one long day, like before the takana. V'hainu nami d'ravashi, d'amar shein ad meniach erev tafshilin v'beiz yomim shal rosh hashanah miyom tov l'chaveru umasne. That's like Ravashi's statement that you can't set up an erev tafshilin for the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. We didn't get there yet. That's going to be the Gemara coming up on Daf Vav. But Ravashi is upset because he forgot to set up an Erev Tavshilin, and evidently he didn't rely on the community rabbi either. So he's upset. And someone says to him, well, that's okay. You could treat it like any Yom Tov. On the first day, you can do your Erev Tavshilin and say, either today is Yom Tov, in which case tomorrow is Chol anyway and I can cook for Shabbos, or today is Chol, in which case I can set up an Erev Tavshilin on behalf of tomorrow. And Ravashi says, no, you can't do that for Rosh Hashanah, because Rosh Hashanah is unique. It's Chad Kedusha. So he says, that's Rav Ashi's statement, to Amar Shein Adam Meniach Erev Tamshilin Bebeiz Yamim Shal Rosh Hashanah Beyom Tov Lachaveru Umasne. That's what he means when he says, you can't do that for Rosh Hashanah, to set up your Erev Tamshilin on the first day for the second day and make a condition of either today is or tomorrow is. Avo Mizelo Shamanu Midvarav Shayunoagin Shnei Yamim Tovim Be'eretz Yisrael. But he says, what Rava says and what Ravashi says has to do with people who are observing 2 days. That doesn't tell me that in Israel they're observing 2 days. Since we know what the calendar should be, and he says, and this is the key point, all of Israel has the status of the place of the Beis Din. Why? Because you could accept witnesses anywhere in Israel, and this will answer our question then about what's going on outside of the Beis Havad in the rest of the land. Why aren't they keeping 2 days? So this is now going to be the answer. He says, because all of Israel has a status of Beis Havad, because you don't have to accept them in Yerushalayim. Shekol makom sheyi esham Beis Din hayu ha'edim holchen. They went wherever the Beis Din was. The only rule was it had to be in Israel. The Kevin Shekane, Havi Kamisha Kiblu Asaidim Bachol Eretz Yisrael Kodem HaMinchas. So we will view it, once you have a calendar, as though they accepted the witnesses everywhere in Israel before Mincha. Ella Shadvarim Nirinkin LaHalacho LaMaisa Kedibri HaRivzal. But then he backs down and he says, but LaMaisa, the Halacha follows the Rif. That you should be doing 2 days. Mishum Decho, and treating it as one long day. Because everywhere you have this concern that there may be shmad, and then we'll lose our calendar, and therefore we have to keep to what they did originally. Things could still go bad. But what he has done is he has answered Howie's perennial question of what I'm doing outside of the outside of Yerushalayim, right? The answer is the whole thing is Yerushalayim. All of Eretz Yisrael is Yerushalayim. That's his answer for that question. So the upshot of all of this is you have one view that says yes, in Eretz Yisrael they're keeping 1 day because there's no reason to keep 2 days anymore. Once you have a calendar, the whole thing was based on a doubt. The other view is, no, Rava told you that the egg is off limits on day two, because we stick to that original concern of the Edom coming, Menhamin Cholamala, and anybody in Eretz Yisrael who's keeping one day is simply wrong, and has to be converted to the right and proper religion. And then we have the view of the Rashba, who says that all of Eretz Yisrael has this Beis Havad status because you could have accepted the Edom in any based in anywhere in Eretz Yisrael, but we're going to follow the Rif anyway because of the Gzera for Shmad. So we'll stick to what had originally been done. But that's the those are the views regarding 2 days of Rosh Hashanah after they fixed the calendar. We're not done yet with this issue of the second day of Rosh Hashanah, because the Gemara on the top of Daf Vav is going to keep on going with it and discussing the funerals on the second day of Rosh Hashanah. More about eggs on the second day of Rosh Hashanah. So we're going to be in Rosh Hashanah for a while yet.
Okay, so the one that says one day.
Yeah.
He's saying that Rava is talking only about, even though during Rava's time he has the calendar, he's only talking, he gave his stuff based on the time of what was.
Exactly. If you're keeping 2 days, it is Kiddush Achas.
If you're keeping 2 days based on Adim, then it's Kiddush Achas.
But if you're keeping 2 days, you're keeping it because of that.
Okay, so he's not talking about his old time.
Yes, that is correct. That is correct. So, yes. So next week, I think that I'm going to just call it for Pesach preparation. There's too much to do in that sense, but.